Well, there's nothing. Whatever. Okay. I want to review what we did last week. Like at the end, in 10 minutes, was quite heavy. So I want to just review it before we can go weiter. And it's pretty important. We asked a question. So we had Ochel Nefesh and then Machshir Ochel Nefesh. And we saw something very odd that appeared to be counterintuitive, that Machshir Ochel Nefesh, in many ways, is more lenient than Ochel Nefesh itself, at least according to Rashi. Why? Because Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov was all about Efshar and Efshar. Remember that? Now, and how we define Efshar and Efshar was the quality of food. Right? Rashi says, if the food is going to be affected, and the classic case is shechita, you can't, or cooking or baking, you cannot compare food that is baked or cooked on Erev Yom Tov versus food that is cooked on Yom Tov, and therefore you're allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov. All of a sudden, from Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, we saw all these heterim. Tarud, it broke, right? You realize on Yom Tov that it's broken. Yefshar, what was the third? Tarud, Yefshar, and remember the equation that Rashi gave, the three things? Tarud, Yefshar, and who remembers? Write it down. Three things. So that's for Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, it was here. Tarud. Oh, Nitkalka. It was Nitkalka by Yom Tov. Etmol, he was Tarud.
Or just the quality of the food.
Or Lo Yada. He didn't know, right? So again, either he had a knife, and on Yom Tov he dropped it and got blunted, or Lo Yada, he didn't know that really yesterday he got blunted, or yesterday he was tarud, right? And we saw in those three cases, Rashi says Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, things that are tangentially or that are used to prepare food, not tangential, things that are used to prepare food. We see if you weren't able to do it, you could do it on Yom Tov. As opposed to when it comes to the quality of food is the real question. And that's when it comes to the food, we want to ask ourselves the question, is this food going to be better, same, or worse? So obviously the food is worse, or if it's the same, you have to do it before Yom Tov. If the quality of food will be better if done today, then you'd be allowed to do it today. Okay. Then we said, where is this notion of Machshirim and Ochel Nefesh? Where do we see this from? So we saw another model, and that's what we ended with last week. Where is this model? This model comes from the Holy Sabbath. And that is a circumcision. The Torah says, Ubayom HaShmini Yimor Basar Or Lato. Can you do a Bris Milah on Yom HaShvi? No, that is the most absolute Efshar that you can get. You can't get one. Efshar. You could not do it. So when it comes to Yom Tov, it's about taste. Okay, this is my bread. It's better today. Do it today. But when it comes to Brit Milah, this is the most objective possible. Can you do a Brit Milah on Yom HaShvi? No. Efshar. The Torah tells us, Yom HaShabbat, you can then do a Brit Milah on Shabbat itself. Right? You can't get more objective. It's totally objective, right? Day 7, nothing. Day 8, you do it. Now, we ask the question, what about Machshirei Brit Milah? Or Machshirei Brit Milah Dochet HaShabbos? We saw the example of carrying a knife through Rishut Harabim. It's not, there's no Eruv. Can you carry a knife, an Azmo? Or the scalpel, can you carry it through Rishut HaRabim on Shabbos? What do we see? You're allowed to. Now, there's a small condition you have to do. What?
So this is when Shabbos is the seventh day? Or the
eighth? No, Shabbos is the eighth day. Shabbos is the eighth day, right? Shabbos is day 8. You can do Bar Milah. What about Machshir Bar Milah? Bringing the actual scalpel, right? Or carrying the baby, right? From location A to location B. Can you carry it through Rishut HaRabim? We said yes. Now, what's a small condition? There's a technicality. You need to have So it depends. You have Edim. Why do you need Edim? What do you need Edim for? Why do you need to have this because topic?
People might think
this is because of topic a little bit last week. People might say what?
That you're not really doing it for
this.
That people know that it's for
carrying on Shabbos.
It's carrying on Shabbos, right? No, don't marry his children, right? Yeah. You invite him for Project Inspire, Project or Keep Shabbat, right?
Shabbat Project.
Invite him to maybe for to tape. Right? This guy's curious on Shabbos. Maybe stone him, goy, come on. And that's only that. We don't do that in Toronto. Yeah, that places. Right? What do you do? So we see, no. In order so you don't think that he's, and then we spoke of this too, why, you know, is it, and we spoke of Maridayin, right? Who's the Maridayin on? Is it on what people think of him, or people think it's more to do, all right? Either one. And therefore, you need to walk with Adim so that people say, no, he's a God-fearing Jew. He's actually on his way to do a wonderful mitzvah. Oh, but what happens if it's during a persecution, during the times where if the Jews were caught doing a Brit Milah, they'd get in big trouble. So what they would do, they would... What they do with the Azma, they hide it. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're allowed to hide it, but that'd be permissible to do because you don't want to get killed, right? So you'd hide it, whatever, bury it, right? You cover it up, you put it somewhere so that no one will be able to identify it. And again, you can still have your witnesses also at the same time. Okay, that's what we saw.
Would that fall under the control of spending 1 minute?
What do you mean?
Like, I know there's certain times where, because you're doing one mitzvah, you're allowed to suspend other doing of other mitzvahs.
But you can't suspend lotusing. Like, that works if if you have the opportunity to do two mitzvahs, say.
Right, okay.
Like, davening comes along while you're doing bri milah or something like that, but not, I think. Is that right?
Like oseg b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah type of thing?
Like, I know, like, there's things like the groom is patur from Marit.
The answer to that, I see what you're saying. So, it's a Mishnah, so everyone knows it. The Mishnah says that a chatan is pater from judgment. So, these are one of the examples where, if you learn just Mishnah, it's very problematic, because that's not the halacha. The halacha is the ischayef for judgment. Different. I live with guys before they get married, right? As I'm sure a lot of people know, right? So, I'm this one that I'm at my wedding. I'm like, you know Mishnah, that's great. That's what the halacha. The halacha is, you actually say Shema. Now, the reason, so the reason is funny. The reason is because you don't have kavan anyway, so it doesn't matter. So halacha is, since it used to be because you're finally getting married, right? And so how you can have kavanah for saying Shema? So you're pato. The answer is today, it could be your wedding night, it could be your Sunday night. You're not going to have kavanah either way. So better fit to say the night of your wedding. So, yeah, it's one of those examples where it's funny because it's Mishnah. But you're right, in theory, so the question is that because obviously when it's Patur and Mitzvah, it could be. Others also say, people do argue that. However, there's it's so funny, that's what I was doing with my son at Yitzchan this morning. So they learned the Sugya, and I'm sure many of you learned it before. What's the status of a Shomer Aveda? Right? You find a cell phone or you find a cow. You'll see what the difference is in a second, right? So if you're watching, if you find someone's cell phone, what do you do with it? No, you put... That's the wrong answer. That's called stealing.
I don't... Say it before, and then you flip an announcement.
What was that? Right. Okay, so you take, you put... when I come home, actually, I don't realize when I get home. Before Shabbat starts, take my cell phone, shut it off, I put it in my other drawer, right? Put it in the drawer. If I found someone's cell phone, I put cell phone in the drawer. I wouldn't do anything different. So that's called the Shomer Aveda. You're watching someone's lost object. And so if I find someone's, and not that I probably would, but if I found someone's cow or whatever, so I have to watch it and take care of it. Put in the drawer, close the drawer, and that's it. Right? That's only for a cat, maybe. I don't know for a cow. So the question is, what happens? So Rav Yosef holds that a guy who's a Shomer Aveda has the status of a...
Shomer Sacha.
Why?
Because he could not give the ani.
Because when a poor guy comes knocking on the door, so everyone thinks it's like a blank check. Like, if you're wearing tefillin, you have the daven. If you're wearing tzitzis, you're pata from Talmud. It can't be. So it has to be that, yes, osak min a mitzvah, pata min a mitzvah is true, but only when you're osak. You have to be engaged. You can't tell me you're having a cell phone in the drawer that you're watching. I'm involved in watching the guy's cell phone. You're not watching the guy's cell phone. It took you all of 3 seconds to put it in the drawer and you're closing the drawer. You're not
preparing for the Brisbane life is.
Oh, okay, okay. So when, but if you're, let's say, preparing your, you're with your, you're taking care of the guy's sheep and you're feeding it or you're, it's a cow and you're milking it and you've got to deal with it, then, and a poor person, then you're potter. So only when you're fine. So what Josh wants to say is that if you're preparing for the mitzvah, are you putter from the mitzvah? So
are you putter from Shabbos, which was the question?
Right.
Specific to that.
That's why David said it's, you're right and you're wrong. Meaning you're still lota. You can't say to yourself, oh,
in regard to that specific.
Right. Meaning because I'm dealing with the guy's cow, I can kill somebody. You're not putter min or mitzvah, right? That's what you're saying. It's only a lota say, right? You're putter from an assay.
But even back to the cow, you can't milk the cow on Shabbos in the normal circumstances.
I could if it's libud, or if it's just milking it and let it. Oh, the cow will die if I don't milk it. So I'd be allowed to milk it and just let it go. Forget what they do in Israel with all these very, very cool high tech things, and they said that I don't want to, you know, right? It's amazing what they do in Israel with milking a cow on Shabbos. But
that even more proves the point. If the cow's going to die, then you're doing your mitzvah.
Right. Okay. So,
if you just want milk, you can't do that on Shabbos.
Right. No, you cannot milk it.
Cow
right.
Alive. That's
right. But I'm not really. If I milk a cow leibud, if I'm just milking a cow to have the milk go to waste, I'm not doing even daraisa. I'm just. It's being discarded. It's not a creative act, right? It's a destructive act. So destructive act would never be daraisa. So, but right, it's cocoa. Right? I'm just the cow. The milk going on the floor, right? It's spilling around. I'm not saving it. I'm not. So it's not the raisa, and therefore that would be okay to do because it's preventing. So, Josh's question is a question. If I'm engaged in the mitzvah of bris milah, do we really say, you know, is that considered osek min mitzvah, part of min mitzvah? So the question is, how do you know what to express it? It's how you know that. Maybe the answer is, well, Shabbos, why are you doing bris milah? Right? Shabbos should override. Why should one override the other? So the answer is, if not for the pasuk in the Torah, because you're right, you could never violate. David's question, I mean, you can never violate a low tase to keep an assay. Right? Here we're quote unquote violating a low tase. We're doing a bris milah. It's chabalah. You can't do chabalah. And again, this is a constructive act of cutting, right? If I was just taking a knife and going, whoa, just chopping off, you know, animals' heads or something, right, just for fun. So hacking them, whatever it is, so that's not doraisa, because what's the constructive act that I'm doing, right? In this case, since what you're doing is very constructive, it's a mitzvah, so of course it's constructive.
The status of not giving a child the bris on the 8th day is healthy.
What is it? What's the status?
Is that a mitzvah, lo tasei,
it's your obligation to give
them. So my obligation, as a father, it's like, so what do you violate if you do it on the, you're like, you know, it's the 8th day, you know what? I have a busy day at work, or, you know, I want to do it, you know, the opposite. I don't want to do it on a Saturday. It's just Sunday morning. Do a brunch. Much more convenient. First of all, if I do it Shabbos, I got to serve fleishiks. I'm going to serve milk instead of bris on Shabbos. So I'll do it Sunday. I'll do a, you know, bagels and cream cheese.
Lux is expensive.
Less expensive.
Lux is expensive.
I won't serve Lux. I remember I did a bris for my son. It was very odd. This is a long time ago. The shul charge for lux was a dollar more. So my mother said, oh, for a dollar more, you got to have lux. I got a dollar more. $1 more per person. I mean, not like, yeah, everything per person. So now it probably, you know. So in those days, anyway, it doesn't matter. There were more options what to do at the bite for food in those days, a long time ago. So, boy, how in the world did we get talking about lux? bris milah. Oh, I want to push it off. Right, I want to push off my bris milah to Sunday because it's more convenient. So the truth is, and this is worthwhile saying, and this is very important. If you are a moel and you get a phone call from a non-from Jew, and this happens all the time, speak to Aaron Jessen, speak to Abby Diamond, right? They will say, "You want me to do a bris on Shabbos?" First of all, they're not driving, obviously. And if it's not in the area, they're not going to go. And the truth is, this happens all the time. They say, you know what? Why don't you do it on Sunday? Now that seems, oh, what are you talking about? What happens if you push off a bris to day 9? You're over, it's a bitul aseh, right? So you're not chayav, the kid's not chayav kares because he's not 13 yet, right? Very hard to go from 8 days to 13 in one day, right? It's very hard to accomplish. What? So it could be he's mevatel naseh. Mevatel naseh, yeah. But, and this is what is the general accepted halachic practice, especially in Toronto, where there's options. Like, listen, the problem is that if you do it on Shabbos, sometimes you're driving, the baby will be brought in a car. How's the baby getting to the shul or whatever? Probably brought in a car. So the mobile say, okay, I'll come to the rabbi. Okay, but the food, everything is being driven. So the general accepted practice is that a mohel really will not do a bris milah on Shabbos or Yom Tov. For a non-from family, they prefer doing it the day later in order to avoid chilul Shabbos. That's unless it's like they'll do it in their house and they don't. Yeah, that's pretty. Does your uncle travel a lot? You have no idea.
Really
on Shabbos, Yom Tov?
Okay.
No clue. Yeah, so there you go. But that's pretty standard. Like Abi says, he rarely do a bris on Shabbos, unless it's like someone in the community, someone who keeps Shabbos, but otherwise very rarely, or Yom Tov. So, because of that. So again, you're right. In theory, you could come up with, right? So you do have situations. What's more important? So you know, I guess to do a proper bris is Doche Shabbos, but if you're not going to keep Shabbos, so then push off the bris. So, and by the way, this also comes up with a baby who's jaundiced. When do you do a bris? So that's a machlokas. Do you wait? Do you count? The baby's in the hospital. Like I had with my two nephews that were born at 24 weeks. 24 weeks and 3 days. Really amazing story.
All about jaundice.
What?
I heard it yesterday about giving a bris.
Yesterday you heard it?
Yep.
Just done.
Yeah.
It can't be.
A little bit. But not
23 weeks?
Early.
No, 23 weeks?
Really early.
24 weeks is like...
6 months.
6 months. 24 weeks and 3 days, yeah. And like a certain amount of hours. Like it's like... It's crazy. It's a very difficult situation. I mean, Baruch Hashem, they're now 11, so 10, 11. So, but they have, you know, they have serious certain medical conditions. But listen, grand scheme of things, they're fine, you know. So... Yeah, so that's so what they say?
So it's my whole list, you have to wait 7 days.
Oh, very good. Is it when they come off from the hospital, you then have to count 7 days, which is Yom HaShemini, or the next day, whatever they're ready?
For extreme cases, they wait 7 days.
So right. Generally speaking, although it's complicated, but the advantage was my brother-in-law was able to arrange up. It was a Sunday. I mean, he arranged it. He also played a little. Once you're already pushing it off, you can go to kind of what's convenient. The doctor said, okay, it's okay now. And so he was discharged on a Sunday, and he did it the following Sunday at YU, so for the boys. Okay, that's.
Well, what's your past daily? What difference?
You want to do it as soon as possible.
When you want to argue, you want to do it. Like, why would you even wait 8 days? Don't you want to do it as soon as possible at that point? The child is more than 8 days old.
So you do want to do it as soon as possible. The question is it like the kid is now? The kid is okay. Now do we say okay? Now he's okay. We gotta wait for Yom HaShemini.
But he's not a newborn.
Right.
I thought it was a health issue. If you wait the 7 days, you wait after someone gets after a whole.
Oh, is that what it is?
So I thought
it could be
a whole shakol goof, and then you wait 7 days. I thought it was
just to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's also a case where the kid can get bad again, and you.
The question is how severe jaundice is. That's why kind of we right. Because they're called goof forever.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Okay. No, I wasn't aware of that.
If the kid's gonna make it or not.
Right. So, generally speaking, a jaundiced child, usually they do it as soon as they can. That usually takes a couple of days. That's usually the... Right, this is much more severe than just jaundiced a couple of days. Right? This was... They weighed 550 grams newborn. Yeah. 550 grams, that's... 1.2 pounds, yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So what do we see? We saw from our case in our Bris Milah that Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, meaning Machshirei Bris Milah, you can violate, no problem. You can carry it on Shabbos. There's nothing to worry about. And what about? And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. You could even make a chop down trees. Remember. Kortim etzim lasot pechamin. To make a kli barzel, no problem. Again, obviously, if you can do it before Shabbos, if all of a sudden you realize that you're in trouble, you don't have the right equipment, then you'd be allowed even to prepare. And Rabbi Akiva says, Nichlaka Rabbi Lazar b'machshiri mitzvah din dochin ho v'ashlazar. So Rabbi Akiva says, if you're able to do it on Erev Shabbos, you should have done it. But if, let's say, you were tarud, let's say your equipment broke, you'd be allowed perhaps to do it even on Shabbos itself. What do we see here? This is exactly like Ochel Nefesh. Just like Ochel Nefesh, if all of a sudden you were tarud or it broke on Yom Tov itself, you'd be allowed to also go out there. Okay, fine. I just wanted to, because that's, I believe, those two things have to be understood together. But there's a third case, a third scenario, which is even more objective, and that is, are you allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed? So what's the rule? What can you do on Chol HaMoed? This is where everyone gets tripped up, right? Okay, if it's Tzor HaMoed, so wait a second. All of a sudden, the malacha acts, let's say, driving. Someone were to ask you, are you allowed to drive on Yom Tov? No, of course not. Could drive on Chol HaMoed? Yeah, sure. Really, why can you drive on Chol HaMoed? So Rashi says, if it has to be Tzor HaMoed. Now, what's Tzor HaMoed? That's a very subjective definition. Right? So, you have to ask yourself, is it Tzor HaMoed? So going to Shul, is that Tzor HaMoed? Probably. What about going to Sobeys? Is that Tzor HaMoed? Of course. So is it Tzor HaMoed, right? What about going to the zoo? Is that Tzor HaMoed? Okay, right. So it's all of a sudden we say it's Tzor HaMoed. But and it's even stronger is that Rashi holds Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Doraisa. Doraisa. So, but yet certain things. And what else can you do, by the way, on Chol HaMoed? Not just Tzor HaMoed. What else could you do if it's if it's a tremendous hefzed, Devar HaAved, right? If all of a sudden you don't do something to your field, you're going to lose your entire field, right? I don't know. There's a massive storm coming, and you want to be able to cover your, I don't know, potatoes or something, right? Your vegetables. So you'd be allowed to do that because we have to be a tremendous amount of loss. If you don't do it now, or the opposite is true. If you leave your crop out, you'll be totally destroyed by the storm that's coming. You'd be allowed to do it. What? If it was beautiful outside, you would not, literally, it's totally, very, very subjective. Devar ha'aved, right? What's devar that you're going to lose out? What could apply 1 year might not apply the next year. What applies today might not apply tomorrow. Or apply yesterday. So, and if you do something you didn't need to do it, it's a biblical prohibition. It's not like just a derabbanan, at least according to Rashi. But, so we see that when it comes to, and this, by the way, makes sense. I'll explain to you why. The most subjectivity applies to Chol HaMoed. That is the lowest level of Kedusha. The middle amount of subjectivity is Yom Tov. Right? Tastes good. Does this food taste good? Does it not taste good? And the least amount of subjectivity is Shabbos. I.e., what is Efshar? Efshar means Yom HaShvi, and only Yom HaShvi allows you to do Bris Milah. When it comes to Yom Tov, very simple. When it comes to Yom Tov, there's only one thing. Oh, is this food going to taste good or not taste good? When it comes to Chol HaMoed, Varave, you're allowed to do it. Have Sprite, Tzor HaMoed. So we see it makes sense that depending on the seriousness of the day, there's more subjectivity. So the more serious of the day, there's less subjectivity involved. The least seriousness of the day, there's much more subjectivity. As opposed to Shabbos, very little subjectivity. You ask one question. Yom HaShmini, do a bris. Is this Yom HaShmini? Yes, there was the Efshar fund, you're allowed to do it. Without that, can't get more objective than that. Okay? Now, Makhshirim? I check. Why? Because when you're allowed to do it, your Makhshirim, however, you need the knife, you need the Shechita, you need those things you'd be allowed to do. Unless, of course, you could have done it yesterday, don't do it today. I couldn't do it yesterday. Why? It broke. This morning. Or I didn't know that it broke yesterday, so I thought it was fine. Those things would be allowed to, you know. So, okay, so that to me is the easiest way to. What I just told you is not so simple, but for our extents and purposes, we'll make it simple. And again, once we're finished this, and we're almost finished, this is a mini topic, We'll see some things in halacha now. You'll appreciate it much better. Okay, I want to ask a question. And that is, what would you think about spices? Tavlini, pepper. So, is that, from Yom Tov's perspective, is that machshirim, or is that food? What would you say?
Adding spices to food?
Spices. Okay, preparing spices.
Like grinding pepper.
What about grinding a pepper? Is that considered machshir ochel nefesh, or is that ochel nefesh? Because remember, machshir more lenient, right?
Mm-hmm. We don't really eat peppers not ground.
So is it, we don't eat peppers not grounded?
Because like you don't, you have to grind in order to eat it. So
right. You're trying to say that we don't eat, what are they called?
Peppercorns.
Yeah.
Like no, people put them up, break them up, put them on steak.
No, but you break them up. You don't eat full peppercorns.
Yeah, direct.
So in order to make it food, large chunks, you have to.
Actually, no, I've had full peppercorns on steak.
Yeah.
I guess they do.
I guess for some spice, but. I think a majority of people don't eat.
But to counter that, no one eats just ground up pepper.
No one says. No one goes like this. It eats pepper.
Yeah, you grind it up and then you just take spoonfuls.
It's interesting. By the way, little kids would do that with salt. Have you ever seen that before?
Right.
Little kids, when it comes to salt, will do that. For sure, sugar. That's not even a question. But salt, yeah. I've seen my kids sometimes.
I think you're more likely to.
I mean, little kids, not like
eat a spoon of pepper.
All can be
like. Right. Actually, maybe they do that because they think it's sugar.
No.
As kids, we used to steal the sugar cubes.
Really? Yeah.
More than sugar, there's tubes that you fill up with the sugar, you know, those machines in the...
Yeah. Sugar, for sure, kids eat. For sure, kids... But no adult. Do adults eat pure sugar? It's not like an adult thing, is it?
No.
I mean, I could take the sugar off the bottom of the
package. Right. Right. People don't eat... But let's not use sugar as an example. Let's use salt and pepper as an example. Actually, pepper's a great example. Do people eat pepper by itself?
Yeah. No. No one.
So that's a great example of a tavlin. So no one eats tavlinim by themselves. No one eats cumin by itself. No one eats paprika by itself. Garlic by itself. It usually is coming.
Well, roasted garlic.
Yeah, garlic is a gray area. But the other ones are good. The other examples
are good. No, okay. I'm talking about those powder garlics.
Okay.
Or even, we have these things in the fridge, these like garlic
cubes.
They're like, yeah, no one eats that straight. You don't open it up and eat it.
Yeah.
No one does that.
You spread it.
What?
You spread it on your...
You spread it on, you put it in the... I like putting it into chicken, right? Like, my wife probably puts it on chicken, right? Meaning, no one eats that stuff by itself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, even though it's edible, it's actually machshir yechol nefesh. Because remember, machshiri ochel nefesh are things that are used to help prepare for food. So if pepper and spices are machshiri ochel nefesh, so the question is, when it comes to grinding pepper, can you grind pepper on Yom Tov?
But aren't generally machshir ochel nefesh something that you have to do to make the food? Like you have to sharpen the knife.
We said last time that when you grind the pepper, it tastes like
That, you could even argue when it comes to pepper, freshly ground pepper is superior to. So you have to argue that, because be careful. Because if you don't argue that, then you should have done it before Yom Tov. Meaning,
it could be less obvious, but freshly ground salt is better than.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm using pepper. Okay. Salt is not so simple. I'm not so sure.
Salt lasts
forever.
If one was certain they could taste the difference, then you could make an argument they could.
Right. I don't think salt makes a difference if your salt is.
Some people have very refined palates. So they may be
but you never see. I've never been offered. Now again, I don't go to like the high end restaurants. No one ever says we like freshly ground salt. Does that even exist?
we have a special salt grind. It's like this pink.
It does exist.
Special. It's like a Hawaiian
salt grinders do exist.
Yeah, maybe exactly.
And the salt.
I don't know if it's any.
What are they called? Salt kernel salt.
Crystals.
Yeah. So you grind the salt
crystals. And it's like flaky. It's like flaky. I don't know,
and you
I
think
don't
it's
know
and
pressure.
The quality is better?
Well, I'm not saying the quality is any better.
Well, isn't that the question?
That is the question, because that you could have done Merv Yom Tov.
If you believe you can tell the difference, one could argue that you could grind it. But if you don't believe you could, I would think you could.
Then I've never, and again, I'm not salt. At all a good proof. I've never been offered freshly ground salt before. Freshly ground pepper, I have. I've never, but again, it's not a raya because I don't go to fancy restaurants. Maybe neither do you. I don't know. First of all, maybe in Toronto, maybe you have to go to New York. We own New York, they have freshly ground salt. I don't know.
I mean, it's not even just the pink stuff. My dad has some salt thingy also in the cabinet that he uses.
And he grinds it on, like he grinds it. No. Some of people who are like...
But he's grounded.
Like, I'll give you an example. I like grinding my own... This morning, I ground my coffee beans before I made my coffee. Mm. So that, clearly, I think, right. Is better. Mm. Right? Grinding your coffee bean, I think, is better. So you could argue, is EF Sharmi Atma? I mean, it was Sunday. But EF Sharmi Atma, you could argue that. The quality is superior. And so I'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. I don't, but
that's also
that's because all are trying.
That would also be why you're probably allowed to make coffee on Yom Tov, but not.
Right, but that's cooking.
Right. But even so, it would be a problem if the instant tasted the same.
What do you mean? I mean, the instant tastes the same today or tomorrow. Makes no difference.
No, I'm saying if the fresh coffee and the instant taste is the same, you'd have an art problem making the fresh coffee orange.
Oh, you're saying on right. I think most people would agree that the quality of coffee is fresher.
Yeah. I'm saying if it did.
Right. If it didn't matter, then why would you be allowed to grind? Right. True.
So about the question from before, well...
About pepper?
Yeah, can you argue that, no one eats pepper by itself, but also what is, the food that you're going to be putting the pepper on without pepper? I don't know, what food that is a good example.
Let's
of that,
use soup. I know certain restaurants they grind
without the spices inside.
But listen,
I don't know.
Could you have that soup without the pepper?
Could. Well, some people wouldn't. Some people don't. Like some people, I don't know. So I feel like there are people that just need pepper in their soup.
I guess you could argue there's subjectivity, right? There's subjectivity involved. We see that. There's subjectivity when it comes to taste, right? Avoch nefesh. I'll tell you why. Because when we do halacha in the next couple of weeks, I want to show you what the halacha says about grinding pepper on yontif. Grinding pepper on yontif is a fascinating topic, which is why now you appreciate it better. Just to go with the halacha, it's not worth it. Now you appreciate the halacha better. So, if you grind but there's another issue, and that's sometimes on Yom Tov, we don't allow using things, because that's called Uvdin Dechol. Is it an issue of using Uvdin Dechol? Uvdin Dechol is like, this is like a weekday utensil, right? Is it an issue of Uvdin Dechol using a pepper mill?
Depends. Do you usually do this thing, or do you only use it for special...
Meaning, okay, I use it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I Yom Tov. So even in the restaurant, when I use it, that would be an interesting question. Is it considered Uvdin Dechol or not? Okay, we'll get there too. Would it matter if let's say, I wanted to... if something had no... Let's use salt as it. Let's use the following case, only because I want to drive this point home. Let's say it doesn't matter at all if I have fresh salt or not. Let's just say, right? Salt from yesterday. If I were to grind it with a shinui on Yom Tov, so most of the time you grind salt, let's say using a grinder. Instead, I'm going to take a spoon and take the crystals and mash them. Would that be permissible to do? But if I did a shinui on Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, or a shinui on something which doesn't matter the difference between today and yesterday. What's an example of Ochel Nefesh, but doesn't matter if you did it today or yesterday? Cooking a hard-boiled egg. No? Is a hard-boiled egg made yesterday versus made today, does it change the taste at all? I don't think so. If I take hard-boiled eggs and I make them yesterday and I leave them in my fridge overnight, and now I want to eat them, I'm not sure if it matters if I made them 20 minutes ago versus if I made them 24 hours ago. Unless you like them hot or you like them, I don't know. But most people, I don't think it matters.
You could warm it up.
What?
And then you could warm it up.
And then I could warm it up, right? But I was in the cooking aspect, which is the real issue, because the cooking is the Doraisa component here, right? Now, would I be allowed to cook this egg on Yom Tov if I should have done it yesterday? Can I make boiled eggs on Yom Tov if I could have done it yesterday? Because it doesn't matter the quality of taste. And now, what are you going to tell me?
The argument today that I don't have the eggs, so I can't now go back and have done it yesterday.
But if I should have done it yesterday, then I can't do it today. So you will recall, we saw Tosfos who says, what are you talking about? EFSHAR is only for Machshirim. Tosfot holds, remember the whole thing with trapping, right? With inside in. Tosfot holds for Ochel Nefesh, blank check. As long as it's after Lisha Velach. That was Tosfot. So Tosfot says, Bishop, of course you can do Bishop. Who cares about quality of food? That's what Tosfot argued. And that's what a lot of the Ashkenazic poskim say, right? What's the matter? Ochel Nefesh, on Yom Tov, blank check. Blank check, I could, not totally blank check. From this point of the Malachot and onward, right? I can cook, I can bake, I can knead, I can't do borer, I can't do tchina, I can't grind, but I would be allowed to cook. I.e., I can make a boiled egg. The quality of the food is irrelevant. EFSHAR, I don't care about if it's ochel nefesh. That was what we saw in Tosfot. Rashi argued, and Rashi said, no, if it has no impact on the food, even ochel nefesh, it is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Unless you were tarud, or EFSHAR again, EFSHAR could be tarud, EFSHAR could be, you thought you had it, right? That would also apply to the food as well, not just quality of taste. So, could you, Rashi, believe it or not, would say you can't cook an egg on Yom Tov. Now, what about with a shinui? Would a shinui matter? How do you cook with a shinui?
Put it in your urn. I don't know. It's already been. It's just.
How do you cook with it? So one example the Gemara gives is that you cook with like the sun outside on the driveway.
It's really hot outside.
Just put a, or take a magnifying glass.
That's not
fish. That's not fish. It's flooded the sun, right? It's like a. Yeah. I take a magnifying glass. You ever seen that? As a kid?
Yeah.
So kids used to like. Friday with it in the car, right? This time of year, that's not going to work so well.
But it will work to use,
what?
To use halakhot that I normally heat it up because of the sun in the house. To cook.
Yeah, so it is asur to cook, but this shinui maybe.
It would work on Shavuot in Israel.
What?
It would work on Shavuot in Israel.
Right. Shavuot in Israel is a good example, right? But the only time it's probably hot enough, I don't think Pesach is. Maybe, Pesach is going to be pretty warm in Israel. So the question would be, could I do the shinui? So it would appear you wouldn't be allowed to. Just, if it's the rest, it's the rest. What should it matter? You can't do it. Right? Makes sense. Think about it. If you can't do it, shinui is good for the rabban, and if you have no choice, maybe you could do it. But for the rest, it doesn't appear shinui would actually matter. Okay. Let's stop here, because I'm about half hour late from being somewhere where I need to be. I'm sorry about that. But I advertised that we're going to end it at 11:45. So let's end here. What I want to do now that we've spent about a month going through at least this topic of the sugya, I think it'd be very worthwhile. I want to take a look at three different halachos that pertain to cooking on preparing food on Yom Tov. One is going to be pepper. One is going to be making cheese. You'll see why. And the other, because it's everyone talks about it, and it's not necessarily food related, but it's called showering, which is also falls under the same. Okay, we'll take a look at those three things, and you're gonna see a whole machlokas, and you'll appreciate the machlokas. What the halacha is, we'll get a little. So I told you we end a little bit with halacha lemaisa before the end of the semester. So we'll do that the next couple weeks, and then the next semester we'll go into the beginning of beitza, which is really all about muksa. Well. Not all about moksa, but heavily about moksa.
Cheese, because it gets better with time instead of worse.
Right. Cheese is different, cheese, exactly. Wine. Right. Cheese, no one, I shouldn't say no one, that's right. It's always the wrong word to use.